This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday? Thursday, July 20th, and it's a lovely 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as we have a Analyze the News Thursday. And we haven't had to analyze the news Thursday for a bit, so I had to bring back the entire team, the entire MASH, Man Down Mashup Wednesday team, who will be Aaron Green and, of course, Ian Manning, to come and say, hey, y'all come and analyze the news with me, right? So I'm going to speed this thing up because we have so much things inside the news to analyze because the news is hot. The news is hot and so many things is happening. And I want to know that, did you really understand what was happening? But my first thing I want to do, I want to play a clip because there seems to be an international row between Jamaica and the United States, and I want to know exactly what is happening. Some people saying that some bullying is going around, and I want to say, hey, Aaron, Ian, let's analyze this, and then let's pick one or two things from the news to analyze, and then let the listening audience come and do commentary about it. So, producer, play that clip quickly, and then we'll analyze that to see what we think. Go ahead.
Community and all the privileges of a diplomat. It's believed the Jamaican government did not respond to the request immediately. The U.S. sent another diplomatic note demanding a response. The Jamaican government responded, rejecting the request. A senior government source told Radio Jamaica News, quote, that would mean Jamaica recognizing same-sex marriage, which is illegal in this country, end quote. Our sources tell us the U.S. then responded, rejecting a request from the Jamaican government to extend the stay of three diplomats in our embassy and consulates in the United States. The U.S. served notice that the trio must leave immediately after their five-year diplomatic visa expires. Now, this is in contrast to what previously obtained, where extensions to diplomatic visas for Jamaican diplomats beyond the five-year period would be routine. Among those affected are Jamaica's ambassador to the United States, Audrey Marks, and Consul General Oliver Mayer, based in Miami, who, as the Americans say, must leave and return to Jamaica this year. It's not known what other diplomatic measures, if any, the United States government might take against Jamaica in light of the government's refusal to grant immunity to the spouse of one of its diplomats. Burton Walker, Radio Jamaica.
Yes, and I just want to go and explain that again. This is one by Radio Jamaica News. This is Karen Madden. He says, diplomatic row reportedly brewing between the U.S. and Jamaica after U.S. requests a diplomatic immunity for spouse of a diplomat in a same-sex marriage was rejected. U.S. reportedly retaliated by rejecting requests by extension for three Jamaica's diplomats based in the U.S. And that's what I want to talk about. First of all, let's start off with this, right? United States has now implemented a policy that foreign diplomats, have a five-year stint, and then they must apply, and the United States will reconsider if they're going to allow for them to extend their diplomat requests, right? And one reason for that is in 5 years, a resident, or the person, in this case, a diplomat, can apply for permanent residence, mm-hmm. right? So imagine a foreign diplomat, we could put it in the Bahamas inside here, has a diplomatic status in the United States. The five-year stint goes by. They ask for an extension after year five, going on year six. You could actually apply and maybe granted U.S. status. Right? So in order to avoid all of that, they said, man, no, you got to come out of the country and reapply, and then we'll do special considerations if need be, or you need to find a new diplomat to replace them, so in order for us to avoid these people having the access to it.
Go ahead. And that policy apparently was implemented in August 2021.
So it's been there a while.
Yeah.
It's been two years now. So Jamaica is aware of it. The Bahamas is aware of it. The world is aware of it, that, hey, you ain't getting this automatic two-term stint as being a diplomat, and the United States have a right to accept or decline or whatever it is, right? So we're starting off there. Now let's go to the issue at hand. United States have some diplomats going to go to Jamaica, and this particular diplomat has a same-sex husband or wife. I'm not sure
husband. Spouse would be the word you use.
Okay. Spouse. I wasn't sure if it was male or female.
Right. So I think it's male.
Gender. Okay, no problem.
Yeah, I think so.
Since they had this spouse who is requesting, and they know that Jamaica is actually also seeking an extension, right? And they said, okay, if you want the extension, I understand that it's a request, and you know it's not automatic and you have to apply, and we don't do that no more. We're willing to allow you to have your three people to get the extension if you allow us to have our person have their spouse come into the country. Say quid pro. Quid pro quo. How do phrase this?
Quid pro quo.
Quo, yeah. And they said, that's fair. And of course, someone leaked it inside the Jamaican media. Then Jamaican church got involved and said, no, we are a Christian nation. We don't dance on our head. I mean, we are a good, godly nation, right? And we have no sin here. And we won't condone that because gay marriage is against the law. And despite United States asking for such, right? Despite we allow gay tourists and allow gay people to live inside Jamaica, we will deny this person diplomatic access and rights. But we still want our people come in United States. One United States do us a favor. And that's where the debate is. And I want your comment on it. I want Aaron to comment as an activist. Let's talk about that. And then you comment as Ian, as a man on the street. What do you think? Go ahead, Aaron.
Let's let Ian comment first.
You're going to go last.
I really wanted Aaron to comment first. So
but that's okay. Go ahead.
I would go first. Look at it from a different perspective, right? Our big brothers from the North have a habit of basically dictating what it is that they want to do and infringing what it is that they say they want to happen or see happen, right?
Infringing?
Yeah, they're infringing. So they're saying to you, if you don't comply, this is what's going to happen if you don't comply with what we want you to do.
They ain't forcing no one to comply, though.
Well, you don't have the three ambassadors that you currently had.
Send three more.
But they could refuse those also.
No, they won't refuse those. They're saying the issue here is not refusing Jamaican diplomats. Hold on, let me make this point. They have several Jamaican diplomats there in the United States, all through the United States.
Yes.
These three need an extension.
Right.
The United States don't do extensions. The United States saying that they're willing to do the extension if you're willing to accept our own. So they're saying, we ain't forcing you. We're just saying that if you want this, we are willing.
But it's similar to what you're saying with the vaccine. We're not saying that you don't have to take the vaccine, but you just can't come on the job.
I think the point Cecil is making is the conversation would have never arisen, right? The conversation, we wouldn't be having the conversation if Jamaica didn't say, hey, U.S., we know you have this policy shift. We're asking you to sort of exempt us from that new policy shift and give our three diplomats an automatic extension of their stay. I think the point Cecil is making is if Jamaica hadn't come forward and said, hey, will you do us this favor, then the U.S. wouldn't have had a space to come back and say, if we do you this favor, can you do us this favor, right? And I think it's a question of whether that's a fair favor, right? Like, that's the question. It's like, hey, can I borrow your car? And I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe this is what it is. Can I borrow your car? Sure, you could borrow my car if I could borrow your wife.
I see.
Right? Like, they could say that maybe that's the space in which we critique the fairness of the exchange, right? But the conversation would not have arisen if Jamaica didn't say, hey, we know you changed your procedures. Can we have an exemption or can you relax it for these three particular diplomats?
But the procedure will be different from the law. because they're saying the law in Jamaica is that this can't happen. But when they're saying that, can you do us a favor of a practice?
No, there's a law now. Practice. They ain't doing it no more. They can actually make a consideration to extend it. Right. They said no.
And I think the point Ian is making, though, is the ask, what the U.S. is asking for. Like, what I would say is, it's not unreasonable for the Jamaican government to say no, because what they're saying is, how can we permit a foreigner to be able to enjoy a thing that citizens cannot enjoy because it's against the law?
Let's question this.
Point taken.
Let's question this. Let's say a U.S. citizen has a second home in Jamaica,
mm-hmm.
and they have a same-sex spouse. I guess that's right. That's
yeah.
It, right? No matter what law that Jamaica say they have about same-sex, those two people married, and they married in the United States, and they have all rights to make a complaint all they want. The assets will be transferred to their spouse.
I'm not sure. I know in the Bahamas, the Bahamian court system...
Don't recognize it.
Hold on. Although we do not allow Bahamians, right, to have a same-sex marriage, we did have legislation that permitted officers, like religious officers on boats, captains, people who could marry people on the boat, they permitted those cruise ships and those officers to perform marriage ceremonies within territorial waters, right? That's, I think, the first thing. And that would have happened, I think, around 2010. The next thing is, I know that the Bahamas does not offer, like, same. They're not going to perform a same-sex marriage here, but they do recognize same-sex marriages from other jurisdictions when it comes to particular issues like divorce, right? And I think dissolution of a state, if a spouse dies, right, and those assets are in the Bahamas or under the jurisdiction of Bahamian courts, they recognize it. I don't think it's the same situation in Jamaica, though. Because remember that in the Bahamas, we decriminalized buggery in 1992. Jamaica has not decriminalized buggery yet. So not only are same-sex marriages unlawful, but buggery, right, is also against the law. And the presumption is that married people have sex, right? Like, that's a given. In fact, these people can tell you that's why you get married, eh?
Mm.
The presumption is that married people have sex, and buggery is against the law.
So as we transition to another topic, right, and you choose the next topic, Aaron, which you want to talk about, right, and Ian, you choose a topic after that. As we transition, we know that Jamaica is limited in terms of having qualified diplomats, just like the rest of the Caribbean, right? They have a certain number of qualified diplomats, maybe 50 or whatever it is, taking three out of commission and saying, you got to send them someplace else, will impact Jamaica, right? Whereas this ain't impact the United States at all. I say Jamaica may need to reconsider in order to make sure that their people and their interests is represented in the United States, that they have access.
Well, do a shuffle, transfer them to another jurisdiction and allow someone other delegate to come to America. It's simple.
That's what happened, but that means new training. Usually you keep the same people there for at least two terms in order to have that trained person to be there. Can you imagine starting from scratch again when you have someone there who's been there 5 years and you need that 5 years worth of training? And then you have to bring someone brand new and say, okay, you have 5 years of training again, instead of taking advantage of the training they had before.
My question is, do they have to accept the ambassadors that you wish to send from your country to their country? Do they have to?
No. And these are diplomats, not ambassadors. And we've had ambassadors here who was rejected by the United States.
Yes.
And then we had to replace them by
somebody else.
By somebody else.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's a recent time.
Right. So it's... And if I could read just the headline, no diplomatic row between U.S. and Jamaica, says government. This is from Loop Jamaica News in yesterday's paper. And it says, there's no diplomatic spat or, as the media reported, diplomatic row between Jamaica and the U.S. as we continue to enjoy strong and positive diplomatic relations, right? So the U.S., I mean, the Jamaican government is not taking it on like a fight, mm-hmm. right? I guess it's more like a negotiation. What I would say to Jamaica is offer something else.
Mangoes?
You
what can Jamaica offer?
Jamaica got plenty to offer, man.
Like what?
Aki.
Don't be like that.
And salt fish. That's the United States we talk about? No.
Don't be like that.
They can boycott and cripple the society. Ask people. What did Jamaica has to offer? You learn to negotiate.
Jamaica has lots to offer, and as a part of the CARICOM body, Jamaica has a lot of support within the
jurisdiction. We supporting Jamaica with this? You want to be quiet? They said, let y'all fight. Y'all can fight this by your own. We ain't commenting on this at all. That's Jamaica and the United States route.
Did we have flags that were flown here in the bombers?
Well, I wonder if Jamaica had any flags. Of course Jamaica had flags flown on the embassy.
I think they flew it at the embassy. Remember now, Ian, we decriminalized buggery in 1992. It's not against the law to engage in same-sex intercourse. And it's never been against the law to be in a same-sex romantic relationship. These things aren't illegal. Right. In fact, you can't. A state of being can't be illegal. You know what I'm saying? They can only criminalize an act, and we decriminalized that act 30 years ago.
We have a caller here, but Aaron, get your topic soon. Producer, let me put that through. Let's see if I get that. Can you hear me, caller?
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Morning
to all. I want to know, what do you consider as, what do you call a marriage?
Would the law consider marriage, or would I consider marriage?
Yeah, with the Bible. I don't want the law. Oh, the Bible.
You should have said the Quran. You changing books now on me. Why are you changing books on me?
No, I'm talking about the Bible
but
now. Then the Holy Bible.
But
that's the only book I know.
But I ain't excited. But I ain't excited, though. Why you can force me to say?
Let me say something. I believe a marriage is a union between a male and a female.
Okay, good for you.
Okay. So there's nowhere in the world two males could get married or two females could get married. They maybe can have a union, but I don't think they could get married. It can't be a marriage.
Well, the Bible doesn't have the what do you call it when you have the inclusivity of the authority of all marriages. There's different religions and different laws.
Yeah, but I'm speaking with the Holy Bible. The
yeah,
true,
but I say...
the true that, word of God. That's what I'm talking.
And
I ain't talking with no Quran and no this thing and that thing. I'm talking with the Bible.
And I hear you. I'm just saying that that's just one view.
Now, then another thing. I got to go on this. If there is two... I don't condone it. I'm not a part of it. But if there's two adults is attracted to each other, whether they're of the same sex or of different, it doesn't bother me. It becomes my problem when I see an adult trying to prey on children. That is my problem.
Yes.
Now, if two big men want to go downtown and hold on and kiss, that's my business. Two women want to do it, that's my business.
And I appreciate that, and I have no problem with what you said.
And not only that, anytime you see them doing that like that in public, they're really looking for attention.
Okay. Yeah, and I understand the sentiments, especially in our society.
I agree, because when straight people are engaged in excessive displays,
yes, I get upset.
Public of affection in public, right? Like excessive displays. I think that's problematic as well.
Yes. Anyway, heterosexual or homosexual or any other sexual.
But we heterosexuals surely have their sexuality on display every day, everywhere, all the time, in the marketing, in the programming, in the clothing, in the music.
But we used that, man. This new thing's new, man. You can't be judging us too hard.
No, I'm not judging at all. I'm just making an observation.
Just saying, no, but I know, but I like your observation. Let's get us...
I all right with that.
Let's get another call here. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, heterosexual, we've been used to it. We grew up with that, and it's kind of accustomed to. So we kind of like that.
I like custom.
We think that that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, I like custom.
You know, a man with a woman with a man. Mm-hmm. But for nowadays, there seem to be some people who are in transition. They were born a certain way, but they are in transition. They're transitioning to something else. Well, that's understandable too, but I can tell you how I go about it. I applied for a visa, and the biggest mistake I made on the application was to say that I was divorced. Now, me and this woman don't speak, but now I got to go. I got to go find these papers. So I asked the lady if I could reapply and probably put that I'm single and probably put that true. Because once you get tied up with somebody in this life, it looks like even though you're not together anymore, you're still together. But anyway, I have a cat. His name is King Charles. And when I die, I'm pretty sure he's going to be well taken care of. Cat never lied to me. We don't have sex, but I love him. Have a wonderful day.
Okay. That's kind of peculiar, but go ahead then, you and your cat.
Once he's not implying that he can marry the cat,
I think he's going to marry the cat. That's what I heard. Anyway, go ahead, caller.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This has got to be a comedy show this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Green. Mr. Green. You know, sometimes I wonder, me growing up, why we even be discussing this, but I find to me, whether we're a Christian nation or what, I believe in nature, and I believe in God. And there's a reason why nature or God put a woman...
Let's talk about the United States.
Hold on, pause. And Jamaica. Don't talk about nature. You all go to Google and Google nature and sexuality. Just do me that favor.
We sound like we're going down a slippery slope.
No, I don't want to talk about it anymore without some informed opinions. Mm-hmm. I mean, I appreciate everything that everybody has said. Those are opinions. Those are informed by their lived experiences. And I'm cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy with that. You know what I want to talk about, though?
Go ahead.
Lobster season fares over boat registration fee reform.
What's happening with the lobster people?
All right. So July 1st, I don't want to say new fees because I sure the Prime Minister promised no new fees, right? But I think that the increase...
I thought he said no new taxes.
A fee is a tax.
Oh, okay.
A fee is a tax. Anyway, the point is that the boat registration fees have increased significantly, exponentially. Some people say tenfold, right? That legislation was passed July 1st. Lobster season opens, crawfish season opens August 1st. A number of fishermen are concerned about the impact of this exponential increase in fees on the local crawfish industry and how it impacts the ability of the average fisherman, the crawfisherman, to be ready to go out on the water and catch lobster. If I could read from the article quickly. Bahamian fishermen were yesterday, quote, eagerly awaiting promised revisions to the over tenfold increases in annual boat registration fees amid fears the reforms will not take effect before lobster season's August 1st start.
But are the fishermen complaining?
Yes, they are.
Where are they complaining? Sweden as their champion.
Well, listen. Say what?
They have Sweden. Clay Sweden is the champion for fishermen.
No. Clay Sweden is the Minister of Agriculture and Marine Resources.
He ain't a champion.
That's fisheries also.
Yeah.
Right, no, but...
He's the champion.
We're not questioning what is fisheries. We're questioning whether he is the champion.
He's the champion.
I mean, are you going to say that, right? But if I get one article...
But they say the man is
Sweden,
the champion.
Sweden seeks update from BPL on Eleuthera power woes. MP for Central and South Eleuthera, Clay Sweden, said yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They say MP.
Mm-hmm.
Clay Sweden is a cabinet minister.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't the cabinet minister, Clay Sweden, engage BPL? Why the MP? I can tell you why.
Go ahead.
In the light, man. He's a fish man.
Because he is
not a champion. He's the fish man.
Because he's not a champion.
Hold on.
Let me read the article because this may challenge me to suggest that the fishermen's them are not actively engaging the processes and mechanisms available to them.
Clay's champion.
Right?
He's a champion.
Paul Malis, the National Fisheries Association secretary, told Tribune Business that following meetings with cabinet ministers and Port Department officials, the industry had been informed that a new boat registration fee schedule for both first-time payments and annual renewals will be unveiled to ease financial impact for commercial fishermen. However, no timeline for when the changes are to be introduced has been confirmed. What Malis goes on to say in this article, and it's repeated several times, is that the fishermen feel blindsided.
Mm.
Hold on, they feel like they were not consulted. Now, Clay Sweeting sits... Now, I need to say this, Ian. You caused this. I like Clay Sweetin. You caused this.
See, Clay caused Sweetin, I didn't cause it.
Clay Sweetin sits. Yeah, I apologize. Ian Munnings did not cause this.
Yeah, see,
he caused it. Caused
Thank
it.
You very much.
But the point, yeah, he worked for BAIC. He couldn't have caused it. It ain't him. It ain't him.
It ain't me.
It's you or me.
I say he's the water champion.
Right, it's you or me. But the point is this, is that Clay Sweetin sits as a cabinet minister. Mm-hmm. In the same cabinet, right, that BPL has to come and report to. That's mm-hmm. the same cabinet, right? He's a cabinet minister. Why would fishermen have not been consulted? Or how could you call him a champion mm-hmm. if all the fishermen are saying that they were not not properly consulted on this matter?
They're fishermen. When the prices weren't taxing you, the Bahamian people still were paying high dollars in terms of getting fish that was in our ocean. I mean, come on, a snapper. I mean, look, we eating tilapia that's imported prawn fish. Look what we're eating. You know, you think that they shouldn't been serving snappers on those lists, or is it too expensive? Mm. This is a question of the tax, even before the taxes was raised. So no matter what it is, it's still going to be a problem. If the consumers, Bahamian people, the Bahamians, aren't going to feel the love in that, I think then that's the issue there. Not the issue of the mere fact that the tax is going to be raised. These things have to happen.
So Clay Sweetin, as minister responsible for fisheries, is not sitting in cabinet, and attempting to protect Bahamian fisheries, Bahamian fishermen, by ensuring that there's a strong enough lobby against the import of non-native fish in the largest archipelago in the region.
You go to Montague and buy fish?
Oh, that's where I buy my fish from.
I'm glad you said that. You see the cost of a snapper or the cost
of
a fish?
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about
it. I'm glad you're going.
No, let's go. Let's talk about it.
Okay.
Let's talk about the cost of energy, the cost of fuel.
The fish free, though.
No.
They're getting oil in the water,
too. The fish
is free because they're there. You're not going to get it.
Everything has a cost. The cost of fuel
okay.
to get out there, right? The cost of boat maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of maintaining your staff, because you got staff to take care of.
But that's nothing new with the people on the line ain't doing. The people on the land are paying the taxes, aren't we? We're paying the taxes for all of those things that you say, right?
The people on the land are also...
We're paying double taxes compared to them.
No, not at all. And the people on the land are also deeply... I don't use the word complain because some of y'all don't understand that.
They don't make the same kind of money.
They are deeply concerned about not just the sharp increase in fees and taxes, but they are also complaining about the lack of consultation, the inability of the government to recognize them as key stakeholders in these policy discussions on the land and on the sea.
So the wet money fellas on the water, once they're on the water. Back in the day, we said sponging money never done. So let me tell you, the fisherman money never done either, because those guys make serious money.
They used to say FTX
make a lot of money.
They used to say FTX money never done either.
Sponging
money will never finish.
That finished.
Sponging money still going on.
That's small money.
People are still sponging.
That's small money.
To who? The people who ain't doing it.
Yeah. I remember this is straw market money would never done.
Five snapper for 25.
but let's conclude on this subject.
Yeah.
What else you want us to know, Aaron? Because I want Ian to get his report.
What I want us to know that this can possibly have a detrimental impact
mm-hmm.
on food security, but more importantly, food sovereignty. As a Bahamian, I'm going to tell you, I am offended. Like, people call in here and say, I am offended that you even talk about same-sex people trying to get married. Mm-hmm. In the same way, I am offended that people would think it decent and Christian to offer me overpriced foreign fish, pretend that it's local fish, without even an attempt to build a relationship with fishermen that could provide them fish, local fish, at a reasonable cost. But it's deeper than that. That's just food sovereignty. In terms of food security, By increasing these fees to this astronomical level, you have restricted a vast majority of your food sources from going to work, which means that you have to rely on importers and the merchant imagination to feed you. It's a serious problem.
What are the Fishing Association people plan to do?
The Fishing Association people continue to lobby the government. They are, I think, going to attempt to support each other to make sure as many boats as possible could get on the water. They are asking the government to, they're asking the public to support them for the government to give a a definite timeline on when they can expect the changes so they can forecast when they will be able to get out on the water. And they ask, I guess they're asking the government to move at the pace of the lives of the people who they govern.
That's fair. Ian, what's your highlight today? What do you want to talk about? So talk to the mic.
Yeah. Somebody sent me a tweet on terms of yesterday what happened in the House in terms of Pentad Trigger's House uproar.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking in that, and they sent me a video, and they was like, look what he's saying. And they were saying something about money for hire kind of thing. I don't know.
No.
Is there need to play the video? You want us to get the video, or are we just talk about it?
There was no... I didn't get that from it, right? Mr. Pintar, the leader of the opposition party, had the floor. I get the impression from the Honorable Obi Wilchcombe, and we say the Honorable Pintar and the Honorable Obi Wilchcombe, and I want you all two gentlemen to know that I'm using that word very, very lightly right now.
Oh, Lord.
No, man, Mr. Newry. The behavior in the House was atrocious, but here's the point. The point is, because y'all ain't really defending the people. That's not what y'all doing. Y'all row in the House of Assembly, and then y'all go make money in the banks. You go drink together. Y'all go have a good time together. Neither party has the moral high ground or the ethical high ground to behave the way that they did in the House yesterday. The only thing that saved Pintard is, I think, in today's paper, we see Pintard saying that he has not received... he has not received the list of names from the Public Disclosure Committee.
Yet. So we got to talk about that. But let's play that note there, the voice note there. This is Michael Pintad with O.B. Wilchcombe in the House Assembly.
Yesterday.
With the Speaker of the House.
We're talking about certain matters today. We're dealing with this bill.
Yes.
And the relevance is the Governor General's bill this morning.
Madam Speaker, I have at least 12 more minutes, and I intend to address matters of national importance. Madam Speaker, you do not have the ability to muzzle me.
Let me say to members of the public, who may just tune in.
I've addressed the issue of the bill before us. There are other matters that I wish to address on behalf of the Bahamian people and the people of Marco City. I reserve the right to do so. It is not a point of order. No, it is not a point of
members,
order. And I will not give it to you.
You're misleading your constituents. You don't have to yield. No, I have not been sent anywhere. No, you are the errand boy, not me, bro. I ain't never worked for nobody. Never.
I remember.
Let's try it.
The last warning I will extend for members to take their seat. Honorable member. Members. This is the last time I come in the call. Sergeant at Arms, get ready. Because the next one who raises their voice in here, the next one who gets up out of context in here, will be going down the red carpet. I'm so mad right now, you're alone. The business of this house stands suspended until 24th of July, 2023 at 10 a.m. And when you come back here, you get thrown this place.
And when you come back here, you get thrown this place. I'm so mad right now. I felt a vexation of spirit, you know. I don't even know what to say because I felt the disrespect. I felt that she was disrespected. Yeah. She was trying to get in control.
It's not just that she was disrespected. First of all, they're disrespecting each other.
Go ahead.
They're disrespecting the constituents they serve. They're only servants of the constituents who put them there. And the constituents who
were Wilchcombe said he never worked for nobody. He never worked for nobody.
He was not an errand boy. I can say, you know what? Maybe he didn't lie. I get the impression that you ain't work for nobody. I wish you hadn't have said that, Honorable Sir. Because we get an impression that ain't none of y'all working for nobody but yourselves. You can't be working for the Bahamian people. When is the last time we heard y'all in the House take a stand for issues that matter not to you professionally, but to the people you serve? What about the Public Disclosure Committee? What about the publishing of names, right? And the list goes on. Look here, PLP and FNM MPs trade blame on BPL 13th of July 23. Could you imagine the PLP and the FNM arguing over who is responsible for the state of BPL? I want to thank the Honorable Minister Glenys Hannah-Martin for referencing some things in this article, right? And she says, Hannah-Martin charged that under the previous administration, quote, there were some very questionable dealings regarding BPL. Quote, I'm prepared to move on, you know, but don't cause me to go back there, she said. Don't forget there was $90 million in fuel arrears that were gifted by the former administration. She also raised the controversial 2018 firing of BPL board members while Bannister was minister responsible. But you remember that because you were also in the House, Honorable Minister. You were there for the whole thing. You were also a part of the government. You guys, you all, you honorable men and women, you do not have the moral authority, nor are you exercising the integrity that warrants such outbursts in the House of Assembly.
Ian,
I have a text. The text said to me, this is the first time I haven't heard Aaron say anything about Tug and Bobo.
Toogie.
And Bobo and murder for hire.
But they always get the stew fish, and they always hire them on the clean roads. So Toogie and Bobo.
They lucky they ain't in the House. We're talking about those who have to carry the badge called Honorable Member.
Aaron,
right?
We have a phone call here. Let's pass this phone call through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Morning, yes. Morning, Mr. Nguyen. Morning, Aaron. The Honorable Obi, my cousin, he never worked for nobody. But I guess when he was at Dennis, I guess he was the owner. And when he's out of power, he still worked for somebody. Okay? I know. Okay, so tell him, don't say that.
He misspoke. He misspoke in his passion. We do that all the time.
And we understand it was a response to a retort. And I'm not even sure if it's appropriate. I'm not even sure if it's appropriate to repeat the retort mm-hmm. out loud, right? Mm-hmm. I get it. He was responding to a jeer mm-hmm. that was thrown at him. Mm-hmm. But y'all must remember where you are at all times. Mm-hmm. Because how is it, can you ask ordinary Bahamians to moderate their behavior, mm-hmm. right? To manage conflict as mature, responsible adults. When y'all go into the House and argue over the most unnecessary things.
Before I go to the next caller, usually we tend to critique the Speaker of the House harshly.
Yeah.
And say, I saw some commentary saying that she's brash, right? I this particular time, I felt her frustration. Mm-hmm. I understood her need to be brash, right? Because, like you said, the two members of parliament not only disrespected her and her authorities, like you said, the chair, they also disrespected the people who were watching, the citizens, the time frame on what's happening. I am concerned. But I am going to go to this, to the callers now, but I want to also speak. What do you mean the leader of the opposition has yet to get the names of those persons who see something wrong? Who is the chairman for the disclosure committee again? Because that person needs to get fired.
Bishop Cooper?
Bishop Cooper needs to be fired because something is wrong. You can't have the leader of the opposition saying that he has yet to get the names when the Bishop Cooper already said the names were sent.
You want to take the calls and then we go to the article?
Let's go to the calls there. Yeah. Producer Patrick, call it through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Nguyen. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Listen, like I said, I think it was last week, the list of persons to be fired that Aaron had, remember I'm saying that the good bishop needs to go on that list?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And, I mean, on the Prime Minister Davis and those, you know, who is not working in his party for nobody, are actually the Prime Minister alongside him. I'm trying to figure out now what's next. You know, we've had a second Prime Minister emerge. Now we have a person that works for nobody emerge. I mean, come on. This is like a show. My grandma used to call it a poppy show.
Yeah. And I think it's important. See, because sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees, right? And they're in the thick of it. And for some of them, they've been in the thick of it for a couple decades now, right? And maybe they can't see from within what we can see from without, you know? Maybe I give them a buy. Maybe that's what it is.
No. Not for Obi Wiscum. No, ma'am. He's been there too long to even by mistake to allow that to come out of his mouth that he works for nobody. That means all these years he's been there, his constituents got nothing from him. Nothing. Because he boldly said he works for nobody. So what are you doing there?
These are questions. What's Mr. Newry? Mr. Munnings? What constituency does he represent?
Who? West End and Bimini, eh?
You mean the place where they didn't have the fire truck?
Lord, uh-huh.
Okay, never mind. We're going to move on, ma'am. Thank you very much for that call, eh?
Yes, let's go to the next caller, producer. Let's push that caller through quickly. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Call again once. Call again twice. Caller, can you hear me? Let's go to the next one. Call again once.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm okay. What I would like to know is what was said for Obi Wiscum to make that remark? What was said?
It was played in the clip, right? You could hear it in the clip, but and it's under the audio, but basically somebody called him an errand boy. Right? And so I imagine that people within the political space, people who've been following politics in the parties, they know exactly what that term means. There are others out there that have no reference.
Make this very short, right? What I blame these leaders, which is Prime Minister, for bringing these persons back. Because I feel like once you have served this country and you didn't serve it well, you didn't make an impact, you should never even get a chance to come back. You shouldn't even come back, you know, because you don't work for nobody. You work for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes. Thank you very much.
I think it was just a matter of two males showing who's the bigger man, who's the boss. I think he might have misspoken. It wasn't addressed to his constituents per se, that he doesn't work for anybody per se. I think that was just a matter of two male egos just flaring in the house itself.
You're just loud.
Yeah.
You're just loud. Seems disrespectful, especially for honorable men who are seasoned politicians in the House Assembly, especially when the speaker was on her feet, especially when she complained about being disrespected before, especially when she is a woman trying to manage men in an unruly state. It does not seem well for our politics. And it makes it even bold to the point where I believe that our prime minister like travel. He just don't like be around these people.
It also speaks to a cultural issue, right? It appears as if we as adults do not have the ability or do not understand how we exercise our authority, right? I'm a person with authority amongst other people with authority, right? And we don't understand how that lateral authority and that lateral power works. We used to top-down power structures. I as the boss and everybody under me answers to me,
mm-hmm.
right? And we see that culture across the country in all kinds of different spheres where we refuse to acknowledge that the people around us also have levels of or degrees of authority that must be acknowledged and respected. Mm. Right? Like even young people have a degree of authority over their feelings and what they think and what they believe in. But we as adults, we disregard that entirely. And we raise children telling them, you don't get to think what you want to think and you don't get to believe what you want to believe. This is a deep cultural problem.
Let's take this quick commercial break right now. We need to pay the bills. But Aaron, I need one more topic before we go. But producer, play the music, and we'll be right back. Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Newry. Of course, Aaron Graham's with me. Of course, Ian Munnings with me. We are analyzing what is trending inside the news, and we will be right back.
Mm-hmm. Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We're talking about public disclosure, right? And who's the chair of the public disclosure? Reverend whom again?
I think it's Bishop Cooper.
Bishop Cooper.
Victor Cooper.
But who is the chairman of the disclosure committee. In December, all members of parliament, senators, and permanent secretaries are supposed to declare. March is the extended deadline where if you didn't declare before, you must declare.
I like that word, extended deadline.
Yes. March, April, June, Bishop Cooper came back and said that one or two people didn't declare. We're waiting on investigating. We're going to send it to the Prime Minister.
Then July, he came back and said some civil servants and PSs, senior civil servants and PSs, haven't declared yet.
And people asked him, what about the MBC? He sure?
Yeah.
He just don't have the report. He just, right. I was going to say lost, but I'm not going to disrespect the position. But then he came and said that he has sent the list of those
he
who
said
have,
that?
Yes, he said he has sent the list to the Prime Minister and to the leader of the opposition. That was July. And now, today is what, July?
20th.
20th. What is happening now?
So we have an article in today's Tribune. The title is Pintard Still Waiting on List on Disclosures.
That's impossible.
Free National Movement leader Michael Pintard said he is still waiting for Victor Cooper, the Public Disclosure Commission chairman, to reveal who failed to disclose their assets, income, and liabilities this year. Bishop Cooper told the Tribune last week that many senators and senior civil servants failed to follow the law. He said he sent a letter to Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis and Mr. Pintard with the names of those who failed to comply. Only the Prime Minister or leader of the opposition could table the list in Parliament or forward it to the Office of the Attorney General for potential prosecution. Mr. Pintard said he had received nothing yet. Quote, we have also formally written to him to get the information just so that we can also encourage and challenge colleagues to submit if only the initial information, because, and we're going to go to page 5, because the way it is structured, you can submit information if there are things that are missing, he said. But again, no, I have not received any information, and so it's hopeful that the chairman would send it. I tell you all, hope is a weapon that can be wielded against you, right? Mr. Pintard said FNM members have complied with the law.
You mean all the FNMs already declare?
Now, this isn't a quote.
Well, it ain't much of them anyhow.
What do you mean? There's a PLP
but
then?
There's senators as well.
I don't know. I just said it ain't much of them.
But there's senators as well, right? That's not a quote. The article reads, Mr. Pintard said FNM members have complied with the law. Quote, the chair ought to reveal, and if there are persons who have not submitted items, they ought to write them specifically so that it could be remedied. And so we're concerned, he said. Quote, historically, there have not been enforcement. Quote, in all respect, all of us should step up. What we do, how we behave, how we govern. And if you have made a mistake or misstep, correct it and get on with the business of representing people, because this issue is a distraction. Now pause. The issue is not a distraction. It is a fundamental issue. It is one of the most important issues. It is the check. It's one of the checks and balances. It is what we, the people, have available to us to govern you.
It cannot be fundamental, and it's now July, and the Prime Minister has yet to speak on it. It cannot be fundamental. I think you're using the wrong word.
It is a fundamental check and balance
Parliament.
You're
moving from there.
No, not at all.
Yeah. This has been Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. Aaron Green was with me as we analyzed the news and what was trending. Of course, Ian Munnings was here with us, who's a regular on Mashup Wednesdays. Have a beautiful day.